Kia ora. Welcome to Neurodivergence Matters. I'm your host, Stephen Harrison from Thrival Coaching. Today we're looking at part two of Navigating Turbulence. This is a three-part mini-series. Today it's about turning overwhelm into information. We're going to look at how many of us are told that our feelings are too much, we're overreacting, we're too sensitive. And so today it's about reframing negative emotions as signals. We're going to look at anger and frustration in terms of how they support us with boundaries and recognizing that this isn't working. We're going to look at confusion, which is classic fog of learning, and also worry and anxiety, how we change the question rather than fight the brain. Whether you're a parent or a child or your partner's received a diagnosis or whatever, or you have as a neurodivergent person. And so there are some things you can say to yourself that really can make a difference. For instance, parents to children, they might say, "You're still the same you. This information helps us support you better." Or, "I'm proud of who you are. I want to understand what life feels like for you." So that's really supportive and encouraging of the child. To your partner, you might say, "Well, this changes our understanding, not your worth." Or, "I'm learning, I might get things wrong, and I'm willing to keep trying." And in terms of a neurodivergent person speaking to themselves, "This doesn't erase who I've been. It helps explain what I've lived." Or, "I'm allowed to build a life that fits my brain and body." So those are words that can really help you in terms of yourself or a relationship. It really becomes important that the words that you use really get chosen because they make a difference to how you feel about yourself or how your neurodivergent person feels about themselves. Let's just move into today's episode and reflect on some things that may help you warm up to what we're going to talk about. What emotions have been the strongest for you in terms of knowing that you're neurodivergent or the person you care about is neurodivergent? What have you noticed in terms of the pendulum swing in your reactions? You know, what's been the strongest for you? What's been the shift? What's been the swing? If you were to think of where your feelings have been in the last day or two, what's your current emotional weather? And what would be one small action that comes out of the extreme ends of the swing that you've been on? Not expecting you to actually answer those right now, but they could be something worth sitting down later and doing. But they are warming you up to what we're going to cover today. Think about negative emotions. We know about anger and frustration, disappointment, hurt. There's so many emotions that we don't particularly enjoy. And I know for me, it's been a real journey to engage with and extract from those particular emotions the value that is there to be had. But one thing I've really learned is negative emotions provide data. They are not bad in and of themselves. Whereas culturally, we often learn that anger, fear, and frustration, sadness, that they're bad or weak or negative. They're actually really helpful in helping us understand where we are misaligned between our values, our reality, and our needs. In terms of a neurodivergent person, emotions often are more intense, may last longer, and they may be triggered by sensory, social, or cognitive overload, along with all the other regular things that people find their emotions are triggered by. Reframing is really the key tool that we can use, and that is we need to reframe that these states are signals or information, not verdicts on who we are. So let's have a look at anger and frustration. Anger is often put with violence, and they aren't the same. Anger is a feeling, violence is a choice around how anger and other emotions might be expressed. And so anger itself is a feeling. And when you have a feeling, it tells you something, and then you have a choice about what you can do with that. Anger often signals to us that a boundary has been crossed or ignored. It may be because someone else has crossed one of our boundaries, or we have. It tells us that a value we hold has been violated, or that someone or something important to us is threatened. So those are really important signals and really valuable messages that we can look for when we feel angry. Our frustration, on the other hand, often tells us that we've been putting a lot of effort in, that the path we've been following isn't working, is blocked, or is mismatched for what we're trying to do, and that we actually need a different strategy, not more self-criticism. Both anger and frustration, you can call them activations. They push us to review, adjust, and act. That's all they do. What we do after that is our choice. So in a neurodivergent life, when you see these things, parents might have anger at school systems that minimize their child's needs. Frustration might be showing up when the things you've been told are standard strategies aren't working. The thing about neurodivergent children is they are unique. They are unique as a person, and they're unique in their condition. Standard strategies, as much as they may be useful and may provide some support, don't answer all the issues or challenges you might face. And frustration lets you know, hey, what I'm doing at the moment is not working. I need to change that. If you're a partner of a neurodivergent person, you might have anger because of years of misunderstanding on both sides, or how often the communication patterns that you're following misfire. Great. It's information. Do something different. For a neurodivergent adult, you might have anger because you've had gaslighting or misdiagnosis, and it's taken a long time to actually find out what's truly going on. Or you might have frustration with productivity tools that aren't built for your brain. And I have a real example of that from work I've been doing recently, where I don't know what they did for a design, but it sure wasn't user experience. The screens were so fully populated with information and controls and changed on a regular basis that there was no way I could ever settle and understand what was on the screen in front of me or make sense of it. And I've had my whole career in IT and working with developing systems. So this was a really bad system, and I was frustrated a lot of the time. And I had to just learn to, in this case, work with and be with the frustration. I did find some ways around it, but boy, was it frustrating. So, you know, it's a signal. It lets you know there's something that's not working. Helpful questions that you might use. What boundary is this anger asking me to honor? Or what is the real goal here, and what new path could I try? So a question for anger and a question for frustration. Confusion is something that we often try and avoid. I know people who get confused and they do all they can to get out of it, take action, even if they don't know what they're doing the action for. So confusion can be quite frightening for people. However, it's also a really natural state to be in, particularly when you're in a learning and growth phase. So confusion often signifies that your brain is processing new information, that old patterns and new patterns are colliding, and that a new understanding is forming underneath all that noise. If you think about it from a neurodivergent context, you realize that you are neurodivergent, and some massive questions start to get asked by you. Is this neurodivergent, or is it a trauma, or is it my personality, or is what's happening for me at the moment all of the above? And you can be receiving conflicting advice from professionals, friends, and social media, and that causes a lot of confusion. And so signs that you're in this, what I call fog, this confusion, is you might have racing thoughts or total blankness. You might feel spaced out, overloaded, or even in my case, I found myself feeling physically dizzy. And then I struggled, you know, you can struggle to make decisions. So all of those are signs of confusion. There's others as well, but these are some of the key ones that I've certainly recognized. When you feel those things, it's important to recognize that this confusion isn't a bad thing. It's recognizing and acknowledging that you're actually in a learning and growth process. And now it's about what can you do with that and move forward. It's not a personal failure. So working with confusion, we'll name it. Hey, I'm in a learning phase. I'm not in a failing phase. The reality is you're only in a failing phase if you think you are. Otherwise, you're learning. So go with the learning phase. It's far more valuable to you as you go through life. Also, stop stirring this pond. There's a real tendency when we get into confusion to start asking questions that there are no answers for. One of my biggest learnings was realizing I never had any sense of stillness. There was never any peace. And what I recognized I was doing was before the pond could settle, I would be out with my stick and stirring it up, asking all sorts of questions. Whereas if I stopped asking the questions, the pond could settle, the dirt at the bottom would settle, and I'd have clarity. You know, that's when I could start seeing fish and some of the other beauty in the pond. But if I keep stirring the pond because I'm feeling confused and I want to take some action, it's like being in a washing machine. So allow incubation. Step away on purpose, whether it's be having a rest or going for a walk or doing a non-demanding activity. And let your mind reorganize in the background rather than thinking you have to be actively doing something. It's that space that you provide that allows the brain to sort itself out. And then check in later. Check in later. Check in and ask yourself, what feels even slightly clearer now than it did yesterday? That's a really good way to recognize and acknowledge confusion, allow it to be, but allow your mind to settle and rather than try and create false clarity, and then come back and check in. I get very focused on databases when I get confused. I can get really absorbed in my database, whatever it is I'm doing. But when I come back out and I ask about what I was confused about, I often have an answer. If not, I might do something else. Confusion is not the problem. It's trying to force confusion earlier than it's ready. Finish this little bit with looking at worry and anxiety. Because, of course, if you're faced with confusion, anger, frustration, worry and anxiety are often very close. And so worry is repeating the same negatively framed question over and over again. The brain loves raising questions. And every time you get into a worry loop, it is because you're asking questions. And so if you can start to understand what it is you're worrying about, you might be able to identify the question that you're asking and change the question. You know, so the sort of questions you might be asking when you're worrying would be, what if everything goes wrong? Guess what? If you ask that question, your brain will answer it. Or, what if I'm messing this up forever? If you really want to get a really dark idea of what your future could be like, keep asking those questions. So anxiety is a fear that we won't cope. It's fear that something terrible is inevitable. Worry is that repetitive regurgitating of the same negative question and worrying what's going to happen. So the key shift that you can make, really get clear on what is that hidden question and the fear that's underneath all that, and then changing the question to something that invites your own agency and offers you options. rather than catastrophizing. For example, some questions a parent might be with: what if my child never fits in anywhere? Can you get how that might raise a little bit of concern and anxiety? Change it to something like, what can we adjust now so my child has at least one safe, accepting space? A partner might be, what if this diagnosis means our relationship is doomed? That question's probably going to doom your relationship. You could change it to, what support or changes might help both of us feel safer and more understood? And for the neurodivergent adult, what if I fail at everything because of my brain? Not much hope in there, is there? Could become, where have I already succeeded and what conditions help me do that? So each of those new questions that you shift to really empowers you to be in charge of your destiny and to look for new options and opportunities. The old questions close you down and put you in a state of worry, anxiety, and aggravation. So as much as I'm offering you some opportunities here to look at your own process and come up with new strategies, sometimes therapy, medication, and community support are vital. Don't block those off as possibilities, because sometimes we all need help. I know I have. And it can make a massive difference if you go and find the right sort of help at the right time rather than just fighting it on your own. Recognize that seeking help is an act of courage. It's not weakness. And by seeking the right sort of help, then you really open yourself up to more opportunities and greater learning and moving yourself through all the challenges that you have in a smoother, more productive manner. Here's a simple process, and I acknowledge that simple is always easier in writing than in practice, and practice is a key thing here. You're going to have to try these things more than once before you get them right, but it is a simple process. So how do you turn one feeling into a next step? Well, first step, name it. Right now, I mostly feel, and it might be angry, frustrated, confused, disappointed, hurt, sad, full of rage, whatever it is, name it. And then the second step, ask, what might this feeling be trying to protect, warn me about, or highlight as important? And that's opening yourself up to your own insights. The third step, choose one small action. So you might clarify or assert a boundary without any violence. You might try a different strategy instead of pushing the same one, because, you know, I'm feeling frustrated because what I'm doing isn't working. So do something different. Take some rest and allow incubation. That can work with any of the feelings. But certainly it's a great one with confusion. Rewrite one worry question into a more helpful one. So all of those that I've mentioned for step three are some of the things you might do as a single small action. Just choose one of them. Taking a single step makes a massive difference. So what's the aim of all this? Well, it's not to erase the feeling. It's to inform you of your next experiment. And the experiment allows you to take the place that you are in your life and in your day and try and find something that works. And if that one doesn't work, try something else. So see it as an experiment, not as I have to do it once and it will be right. Keep trying, keep working, keep looking. Become a real investigator or a detective of your own or your child or your partner's way of being that might make a difference. As we're drawing to the end of today's episode, some of the key ideas from today. Painful emotions are a compass. They show you direction, or they show you a little bit more about where you're at. They are not a character flaw. Anger and frustration helps you understand your boundaries and what isn't working. Confusion lets you know that you're in a place of learning. It's not a weakness. And worry and anxiety are driven by hidden questions that, as you rewrite those into positive, forward-moving statements and questions, you'll find that you totally open up into new possibilities. That's our episode. Next time, we're going to look at the final part of this mini-series of three, which is around growing through change, not around it. So it's about bringing it all together, looking for the essence of our situation, not perfection. I'll introduce the idea of peeling the onion and the helix of growth, and then riding the waves and choosing aligned action. So it feels like a lot, and probably is. It's an exciting place to really engage with what is a natural part of life, growth and change. So as we close, I'll let you know that more and more resources are being populated on my website for episodes. I'm gradually catching up with what I've said I'd be doing. It's been quite a journey for me to get into this show and to do all the resources that I want to do. They are there and or coming. So yeah, please check out my website, thrivalcoaching.nz, and see what resources are there. And if something isn't there for an episode, it will be soon. It's a very exciting place to be, and I'm really hoping that you can really get a lot out of what I'm sharing. So this is Stephen Harrison for Neurodivergence Matters. Ka kite.
This episode was produced at Coast Access Radio with support from Erarangi Te Motu, New Zealand On Air. You can catch this and other podcasts online at accessmedia.nz, or you can search Coast Access Radio on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.